WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The new film adaptation of Lolita, the one that until recently no American distributor was willing to take on, will be presented on the Showtime cable network this Sunday. It will open in theaters around the country in September. The screenplay was adapted from Vladimir Nabokov's novel by Stephen Schiff, the former New Yorker writer and former Fresh Air film critic. It was directed by Adrian Lyne and stars Jeremy Irons as the nymphette-obsessed Humbert Humbert. Our book critic, Maureen Corrigan, has seen the movie, and she says the film features a Humbert for the 90s, one whose predatory aspects are downplayed in favor of his identity as a victim of personal history and present circumstances.
Vladimir Nabokov's Lolita is just impossible to translate into film. I'm not talking about the difficulties of depicting its erotic, some would say pornographic, subject, the sexual relationship between a 40-year-old man and his 12-year-old ward. No, the problem lies with Lolita's narrator, Humbert Humbert, that fellow who Martin Amis, in his worshipful introduction to the Everyman edition of the novel, characterized as both irresistible and unforgivable. Nabokov constructed his masterpiece as a series of dramatic monologues by Humbert, who's reflecting back on his past after he's already been imprisoned for molesting Lolita and murdering his rival, Claire Quilty. Humbert envisions his audience as posterity's judges, and he resorts to nimble wordplay, humor, flattery, and self-flagellation to win our sympathies. This artful old goat, however, is also the archetypal unreliable narrator. He tells us, for instance, that he finds lying to psychiatrists an endless source of robust enjoyment. Reminiscing about his first tryst with Lolita, Humbert declares, "It was she who seduced me." But a few chapters later, this image of a wanton Lolita is thrown into question when Humbert recalls hearing her sobs in the night, every night. Every night, the moment I feign sleep. Who to believe? In the movies, that question is almost always settled by the camera. "It was she who seduced me," declares Humbert, and as the fateful moment unfolds in Adrian Lyne's new film, we watch lovely young Dominique Swain as Lolita remove her retainer and mount Jeremy Irons' Humbert, thereby confirming his version of events. It's a given. Great books, unlike bad or even good ones, are almost always better, richer, more complicated than the movies made of them. But after resigning myself to that inevitability, I have to say I lapped up this version of Lolita, which is wittier and more weirdly heartbreaking than the 1962 James Mason, Sue Lyons version, itself a classic. Lyne resorts to visual humor as the cinematic equivalent of the novel's elegantly droll style. When Irons sees Swain for the first time, she's in profile, sprawled out in her backyard in front of two rotating lawn sprinklers that rise up from her midsection like two wet and erupting ovaries. Lyne also revels, as Nabokov did, in the cheesiness of the American scene. On their cross-country journey, Irons and Swain indulge their illicit love on magic finger vibra beds and in motel rooms shaped like teepees. Swain, who's supposed to be 14 in the movie, possesses that adolescent power of changeability. One minute she's all floppy limbs and pigtails, the next she's a vamp. No one can out-vulgarize Shirley Winters, who played Charlotte Hayes, Lolita's mother in the original movie. But Melanie Griffith's dopey sweet voice and blonde prettiness give her an edge in portraying Charlotte as a desperate, expired nymphette. And caught between the two women is Jeremy Irons. You can hear his passivity in this scene where he's squeezed into an outdoor swing chair by Swain and Griffith, who are competing for his favors. That thwacking noise is Swain stroking a doll against Irons' thigh. She's also using her bare feet in creative ways.
"I could be a dancer. That's a major option. Because I do have a natural grace. You know, I'm a kind of sad beauty."
"Sort of sad is right. I'd like to see you dance sometime.
Little girls always want to be ballerinas, don't they? I know I did. But I was, well, how should I put it? A tad too plump? Is that the right word?
Yes.
I'll get more of a bray.
Mm.
Make her take us to Hourglass Lake tomorrow.
Me?
Mm-hmm. She'll do anything you say. She's getting a thing about you.
The Jeremy Irons we see here is the limp love victim of damage rather than the calculating schemer of reversal of fortune. Unlike the novel, where we listen to Humbert plotting, always archly plotting, to kill Charlotte, drug Lolita, and have his way with her, this Humbert is seducee rather than seducer, wide-eyed rather than shifty-eyed. Perhaps Line felt it necessary for Humbert to shed his satyr's horns in order to win any sympathy for him in an age so conversant with the real-life horrors of pedophilia. Oddly, though, making Humbert more sincere works to make the movie more erotic. Because Irons plays Humbert as frozen at an adolescent sexual stage, he and Swain seem well-matched as lovers. Their brief sex scenes together generate heat rather than repulsion. And when Swain escapes from him, you can feel Irons' despair. Nabokov wrote in his famous 1956 essay on Lolita that the inspiration for the novel was a newspaper story about an ape who produced the first drawing ever made by an animal, a sketch of the bars of its own cage. In the novel, Lolita and Humbert take turns playing jailer and jailee. In Line's film, Humbert alone is the prisoner of diseased love.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.